You don't prepare in the battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well. Father, we give you praise. We bless your holy name. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion and mercy. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that there will be illumination as we sit and tabernacle around your word. You will show us things that we could not have known by our own self. In the name of Jesus. Your word will enter us with great light. In the name of Jesus. You will destroy every wrong pillar that we have built on religion in the name of Jesus. Your word will set us on our feet and enter into us. Your word will make us stand straight and firm in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, tonight we'll be looking at the subject, the power of impartation. The power of impartation. The power of what? Impartation. Alright? There is such a thing called impartation. And it is scriptural. That what a man carries can be transferred. Every virtue and grace is transferable. Is that clear? Every virtue and grace is what? Transferable. The book of Hebrews chapter number 7 verse 7. Hebrews chapter number 7 verse 7. The Bible said that for without controversy, the less is blessed of what? The greater. Without controversy, without dispute, without contradiction, without any argument. When the less needs to climb up, the greater can pull him by the hand. Hallelujah. So, impartation is a reality. It is in the system of God to use those he has, you know, raised to raise others. And those he has imparted to impart others. I want us to check a few things and such that we'll, you know, journey together into the word of God. And the Lord will open our eyes to see things we have never seen before. In the name of Jesus. Now I want to read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 34 verse 9. The book of Deuteronomy chapter number 34 verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Let me read again. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. Now, listen, every river has a direction that is flowing to. And every river has a source that is flowing from. Every river has a channel that it is flowing to. And every river has a source that it is what? flowing from. We are looking at the life of the man Joshua. And the Bible is saying the kind of wisdom that is operational in his life can be traced to just one man, Moses. Now, this is not a denial of the fact that the man called Joshua had been doing some things on his own in terms of his honor towards God. But the Bible is saying this wisdom that is evident in his life is a function of the laying on of hands of Moses. Now, not just that the wisdom come, the Bible said the children of Israel hearkened to him as they hearkened to Moses. It tells us that in the kingdom, the level of authority a man carries can be transferred, sir. That a man can stand in a place on the account of his weight, the weight of his sacrifice with God, and then pull some strings in the spirit realm, and everything that has ear will hear. Nothing is designed to resist the voice of sacrifice. I repeat, nothing is designed to resist the voice of sacrifice. When man fell in the book of Genesis chapter number 3, the first thing God did was to kill an animal and make a dress from the skin of the animal. Sacrifice. Until there is shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You get what I'm saying now? The Bible says that for God has given us a name that is above all names, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall what? Bow. But the enforcement behind that name, Jesus, came on the strength of the sacrifice that he represented on the cross. Moses had gone ahead in life, in progression, in terms of intimacy with God. He had gone ahead, far ahead of Joshua. Joshua represented the new generation that is coming. But on the account of what Moses represents with God, there is always a need for continuity. Let this register in our heart. Everything God does on earth requires continuity. God starts with the fathers, but he is generational in his approach. What God invests in the fathers, it is his delight and desire to see that these things will spread to the sons and the children. But each time there is a fracas, there is a breakage between the fathers and the next generation, the Bible said that the earth will look like a cursed ground. Have you seen that before? The book of Malachi chapter number 4. All right, the Bible says that before the coming of the great day of the Lord, I will send Elijah the prophet. Have you seen that scripture before? And it will unite the heart of the fathers with the children, lest the earth is smite with a curse. So it shows that when we have a generation of sons or children that decide that what the fathers are carrying, they care not about it, and they do not want to function by receiving any impartation from anybody, they want to dig their own well afresh. The picture of what they will paint with that mindset, that thought pattern, is the picture of a cursed ground. No generation is designed to stand apart from the work that God has started in the life of the fathers. For we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So each time God starts a flow of a river in a lineage, are you getting what I'm saying here? Even when the man wielding that dimension is dead and has gone to be with the Lord, God, in his own approach and dealing with men, always look for one that will, listen, the one that will carry the grace that God invested is not just a one that is showing up on the account of his hunger. It is a one that understands the dynamics of what can draw what the fathers carry. I'd like to tell you something. When it comes to the subject of impartation, hunger is not enough. Any greedy miscreant can be hungry and yet misbehaving, dishonoring, doing things in the way they want to do it. There are dynamics of what guides and makes sure that there is a communication of grace. This is what we call impartation. There are things that must be in place in the life of a man that God will say, this is the man that will carry what has been flowing. Every grace that is resident in every lineage is like a river. It is flowing from a source on the account of one man's encounter with God. An altar where something was enacted. You get what I'm saying now? And God decided to release a dimension of something. It is the delight of God that no man will leave the earth without passing across what he is carrying. Let me say this to you. I remember vividly in the year 2010, while I was waiting upon the Lord, the Lord said to me, he said, across generations, men are increasing in knowledge and sometimes increasing in anointing, but not in stature. He said, because they fail to remember the works of the fathers. You see, every new generation has the tendency of thinking they know better. Nobody's disputing that. But we must regard the generation of men that with the little they knew, they shook the world for the Lord. On the account of their dedication, on the account of their commitment, on the account of their consecration, many of them have become power plants. That what they are carrying is palpable. You get what I'm saying? Grace that commands result in certain area. Here is a young man or a young lady that is just about starting life afresh. And the Lord is saying, instead of going to dig well, for you to dig what this man carries, you will dig it for the rest of your life. But you can understand a kingdom key that can unlock the door, that can guarantee a flow of what this man is carrying into your life. It is called the key of knowledge, of honor. You can open with this key and God will make sure he guides that there is a transference from what this man is carrying into your life. Joshua was not just a man who followed Moses. There were many people who followed him, including Aaron. But Joshua was the one who followed beyond where others followed. That even when the Lord told Moses to climb up to the mountain alone, the Bible gave us the account that Joshua followed after him and the Lord did not rebuke him. There is something that is common to every man that are the recipient of the grace a man is carrying. For instance, if you look at the life of Elijah and Elisha, there were many other sons of the prophet. Have you seen that in your Bible? Yes. And the idea of the sons of the prophet is that the moment we can catch the grace of prophecy, we stop there. Such that without any announcement in the land, they knew that the Lord was coming to take Elijah by the gift of prophecy. And they were asking Elijah, that do you know that the Lord is coming to take away your master in this day? He said, yes, I know. Hold your peace. And they all were following. And when they got to a particular point, they stopped at Jordan. And the Bible said only Elisha went with him to what? The other side. Men who will carry, men who will be imparted, are not men who stop halfway. Impartation is not just for any greedy fellow. God jealously guards this oil to be sure that the man who is claiming to be in need of it is truly deserving it. Every generation as well. Men who have labored on the account of intimacy they have with God. They have spent time digging and digging. Spent time crying to God. And they have opened portals available that God is waiting for sons who will understand. If we fail to honor and recognize the work of the fathers, we will suffer afresh. Every generation that despises the sacrifice of the fathers suffer. Have you sat down and imagined that in my generation, there are men that represent something with God, and somehow they all, around the same time, seem to be at the edge of their life where it looks like they are gradually beginning to tell us bye-bye. Instead of joining the set of men who are seeing, who are looking but not seeing, and yet abuse these men who are carrying this thing, they are carrying a treasure in earthen vessel. We can discern that these men represent something, that if care is not taken, we may have others but not their kind again. Since the day God has told me that there is a class of men that is going into extinction, I have recognized in my heart, I have a responsibility. before any man will leave, while I'm alive, there is a need to reach out and collect of the oil. When a generation despises the rivers flowing from the fathers, they die of thirst. And we rise, we gloat in knowledge, empty boasting. And you hear people saying many things. You can never despise the weight of a man who has a long record with God. And let me say this to you, irrespective of your hunger, you cannot drink in 1 year what men have been drinking in 70 years. Let your tongue, your belly be as open as anything, and you say, I'm hungry, I want to spend the next 100 days praying in tongues. God cannot give you in 100 days what it took him to give the fathers in 50 years. On the account, listen, when a man shows up before God in desperation that he wants to get what a man has gotten over decades within the space of weeks, it is a sign that the man doesn't intend serious journey with God. Men who intend to go far with God are men of consistency. There's no point rushing. You get what I'm saying now? And sometimes our desire, they are truly desires, but they are desires that are coming from the flesh. That we want to boast of how much we have waited, how much we have done this, how much we have done that. You get what I'm saying now? And we despise the inheritances in the kingdom. I want to now build our own afresh. Don't forget what I told you. When a generation ignores the water of the fathers, they die of thirst. We will go back. And I want us to understand this in context. It is to the end that our heart will be aflamed. We will go back and dig the wells the fathers dug and be healed. You see, let me show this to you. When a man meets with God, it is the meeting place of a man and God that is called an altar. And whenever there is a meeting place, the proof that you have met God is that something must die. Let me say this to you. When God revealed himself to you, he takes away what looks like him in your life. Any point that a man meets with God, that is the point we call an altar. But the altar is not as strong as the meeting. The altar is as strong as what dies. Okay, you are not getting what I'm saying. Is somebody following me? The altar is as strong as what? What dies. When the Lord meets with you, the first thing he moves to take is what looks like him in your life. It is called an idol. God looked at Abraham. I used to have your maximum attention. But since this Isaac entered into your life, your love level has changed. And God said to him, Abraham, you will sacrifice this your only son, Isaac, whom you love. When God moves towards a man, he takes away false gods. This is why men who truly know God must know sacrifice. You cannot boast in the knowledge of God if you don't know death. Huh? In knowing him more, we die more. The price for all of him is all of you. The part of you that are precious first, and he collects them one after another. So when a man meets with God, but the issue is this, it is possible that long after a man has come to be with the Lord, earth is already covering the altars that were built. Because men never consider it as anything. But the moment a man stumbles on that meeting place, the same effectiveness that was there in the beginning when God met with the man, the same spark of effectiveness will come again. God doesn't leave a place where he meets the man. He waits there for a man that will understand what that place represents for the movement of what God did then to enter into his life. When God invests into a lineage, he doesn't take away degrees. God has never invested in any man or any generation in vain. There are things that God has marked upon my life that I'm carrying, that long after I have gone to be with the Lord, they are still available up for grab. For men will understand the account of these works to enter into. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? Every man that God invests into, he makes sure that those things are transferable. Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses, the servant of God, had laid hands upon him. Not all hands are empty. Not all hands are what? Empty. And when a hand is not empty, the hand is not light. It is heavy. Hands were laid upon him. Something entered him that when he speak, everyone that hears him, you know, obey and they honor him. You know, it was said concerning Archbishop Benson Dausa, and this is a verified story. This is 100% verified story. When he had guests in Benin City, I think it was T.L. Osborne that came then, along with some other men. And after ministration, they had to travel back. Getting to the airport, right, there was no more space already for them to book their ticket. The plane moving to United States was already filled. So no more space. He entered and requested that one man would please come down for his guest to go. And the man who came down was this man called Aliko Dangote. And he came down and then decreed words over him. Words don't die when sacrifice has gone ahead. They don't. Words don't die. It is important that you don't live a careless life. Live life recognizing men who carry what your destiny requires to survive. In Psalms chapter number 18, David said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he came down to rescue me from my enemy, for yea, they were too powerful for me." It means that every man at some point in his life will come in confrontation with things that are more powerful than you. It takes the strength of impartation your life is living with for you to survive. Every great man you see is an assemblage of various ants. Let me come again. Every great man you see is an assemblage of various ants of impartation on him. We are product of the graces we have received. The moment a man makes attempt to be self-made, God is in the business of showing him that no proud man can succeed. Men are strong to the degree of grace that has flowed into their life. Your ability to be vulnerable to know that you need help, you need divine assistance. You get what I'm saying? You need impartation. It's called humility. When you recognize the grace that is functional in a place, understand that nothing unlocks it like honor. Let me show you a scripture. In the book of Genesis 27, you can write it down. Something very strange was happening in that scripture. Genesis chapter number 27. Isaac called his first son Esau. And he said to him, "Go and get me a venison that I may bless you and die." Now, let me say this to you. If you notice something about the Abrahamic blessing and men who wield it, one very common thing about all of them is that they recognize, they understand what they are carrying. When Jacob wanted to speak to his children, he said, "Let me tell you what will befall you in the last days." They knew the authority backing it. The Abrahamic blessing was strong to the degree that it was recognized. Isaac said, "There is something I am carrying from my father. I recognize it." You are careless if you don't understand divine things. You are careless if you don't understand the blessing flowing. You are careless if you don't understand the grace at work in a place. And usually I've noticed in denominations where there are great grace there, men can enter for the very first time and carry what sons of the house are not carrying. Because they are coming with more level of hunger. When familiarity enters a man's life, the greatest thief has entered. Nothing steals from a man like familiarity. Familiarity tells you that you will have it tomorrow. Meanwhile, somebody will come and get it today. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And Isaac said to him, go, get me a venison. Now, there is something about what I want to pass across to you. And that's what he was saying. I want to impart you. There is something about this impartation that will not flow until there is satisfaction. It is not all blessings you go and kneel down on the altar to get. Those who bless people generally, there are some that are reserved for sons on the account of sacrifice. So he said, this kind here. Now, you notice, he could easily have told Rebecca to cook him something. But he wants to make sure that the one who he wants to carry something will serve what he wants to carry. If you want to carry something from a man, you must serve that grace. It is not called slavery, it is called wisdom. He said, you go and get me a game, a venison. Prepare it that my soul may eat it and be satisfied and bless you. Then a man called Jacob came. Now, look up. Esau could not carry the blessing, not because he got the meat late, but because he never valued it. Just a few days before that particular day, he was hungry. And the younger brother asked him to take food and trade that blessing for him. And he accepted. Blessing don't go to sources that there is no value. Value is seen by the Lord. Let me say this to you. It doesn't matter who lays hands on you. If God doesn't cooperate with you, nothing will flow. It doesn't matter. You may know how to play politics around your denomination, around the ministers of God, such that on the account of some little externalities you are putting dramatically, you get what I'm saying now? Hands are laid on you. If God cannot confirm, if it is not clicking that you are a man who understands the value of that thing, God will supervise to make sure that the hands are on you, but nothing is flowing. Grace flows towards the direction of value. Jacob already had greater degree of value for the blessing. He had sat down, admired the stories he heard about his grandfather, looked at his father's life, admired him. He loved that flow. Esau did not care. Do you care about what is flowing towards you? When you look at men in your generation, do you care about what they carry? When men stand out with stature for the Lord, do you care? Is there something in your heart that rings? That, excuse me, sir, this man must not die carrying this thing and going to the grave with them. Do you really care? You have read about stories of great men like Babalola, Catherine Kuman, and so on and so forth, Smith Wigglesworth. But you have some in your own generation walking almost in greater light. In your own very presence. But you cannot leave your comfort zone to be imparted. And that is the life of Esau. One major bane of Esau generation is that their value system is over the physical than the spiritual. They value things they can see, feel, and touch. But when things are not visible, you get what I'm saying? They pretend around it, but there's no value. We must understand that all physical things are made for the invisible word. The word of God is the raw material for the creation of everything. A man who has the word has everything he needs. So, value system in the sense that you understand that there is a force that can control the affairs of things more than my ability, my energy, more than my own intellect, more than my intelligence. I can carry something from this man, and the work I should have done for 20 years will be constricted for me. Do you know you can pick books and learn a man's 40 years experience in one book, but this generation will not read it? And sometimes when we trivialize the fathers, we trivialize the gods of the fathers, the God of the fathers. You know, one thing that is very clear is that God doesn't despise the sacrifice of his generals. Huh? What did I say? God doesn't what? The sacrifice of his what? Of his generals. He doesn't despise them. And when men, you know, sometimes the level of disdain that is at work in the life of Christian is a reflection of how far the devil has gone with people's lives. Pastor Iyi Adeboye was sharing a story of a particular time that they went to see Kenneth E. Hagin in his office. And he said he went with several friends who are pastors. And then by the time he was done preaching, he went to all of them one after the other and asked this one, "What do you want?" And they said, "I want permission to sell your books." And then he asked that one, "What do you want?" He said, "I want permission to sell, to take your audios back to Africa so everyone can hear what you are doing." And when he had asked everyone, he looked at him where he was just seated. And he said, "You are not talking. What do you want?" And he said, "I want everything that makes you you." And then he said, "Right, answer this one. Give him what he wants. Give that one what he wants. You go on your knees." And he shut the door. Just the both of them there. Shut the door. Do you value the blessing enough to travel thousands of kilometers to get it? Let me say this to you. Church attendance is not based on proximity. It is based on revelation. It doesn't matter how far it is. Where your blessing is where your destination must be. Do you get what I'm saying now? That you will recognize there are Christians. And sometimes we fool ourselves in our hearts. There are Christians who are saying, "The reason why I'm not, you know, attending meetings is because I don't have money yet." Meanwhile, the ones in their vicinity that they have enough resource to attend, they will not. You get what I'm saying now? They are only trying to push God to a point where they will have more than enough. And yet, you now discover that they have no value system. When the value system of a man is dead, he will not carry anything. And one of the things you have to keep asking, do I value the blessing? Do I value impartation? Are there men that are marked in my generation that represent their gates? When a man ends a place with God to pull down a dimension, the man becomes access gate. That all those who want to pull that same kind of string must of necessity recognize the work that God has done here to this man. Those who fail to, they will only shout. They will not have access to it. In every generation, there are men who represent the healing movement. You get what I'm saying? You must be given to what they do, their materials. You cannot despise a river and the water will benefit you, sir. You have core responsibility to recognize. Sit down. Every Joshua generation must learn to sit down and ask, "What is God doing in my generation? Who are the men to watch out for?" You don't compete with those that should impart you. You don't struggle for visibility around them. You don't get to rivers and give, you get there to take. You don't get to the fathers and show them how much success you have. You keep quiet. The angels standing before the throne of the Lord has six wings. With two they cover their faces. With two they cover their feet. And with two they did fly. Nothing matters but him. And sometimes young people get before those that should impart them. And the next thing they want to do is to intimidate them with encounters. Say, "I had an encounter with Jesus." And your life is still like this. Whenever you have the privilege of standing before men, carrying what your life needs to survive, you keep quiet and receive. Pride goes before every fall. It also goes before being stranded. For a man to be stranded in his generation, he must have been a very proud man. Sit down. Every Joshua generation needs to sit down prophetically. You need to recognize with the eyes of prophecy, who are men representing the move of God in my time? Understand what each man represents. It is a river flowing from somewhere. When you recognize it, you can partake. Every generation have men that are signposts. Their life is an indication. Their life is a communication of something. Their life is God speaking. God is speaking something to your generation through their life. Is somebody get what we are saying here? Are you get what we are saying here? Every man has things. Every Joshua generation must sit down and remember the works of the fathers. Who are the men that has labored in this land? The men that has erected altars here. Men whose tears and blood has flowed through altars in this land. If we must break barriers here and break the cords of wickedness, there is a need to go back and first and foremost recognize the works the fathers have done and build on it. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 to 10, I as a wise master builder have laid well the foundation, and let every man be careful how they build thereon. You can never successfully walk under a man until you carry the spirit at work in him. And there are men who are struggling. You know what I'm saying now? You should not struggle as an associate pastor. You can carry the spirit. Elisha asked for the spirit in the life of Elijah. He didn't ask for the gift. He asked for what? The spirit. And one of the best ways to carry the spirit is to carry the weight of the man. It is those who can carry the weight of the man in correction that can carry the spirit. Now you have to learn how to introspect. And this is how to be a very spiritually intelligent Christian. You sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Enough of jumping up and down. Sit down. You have jumped up and down for how many years now? There is no result. True or not true? Sit down. Recognize men that God is doing something. Recognize the language God is communicating through their life. A young man reached out to me and said, God instructed him to do something for our ministry. And that's to do some design every time we're having programs. He just collected and do those designs. Now, the moment he said that same night, three different people called him from different places and said, anything you want to do, call us for money. We'll always, with all dedication, give to your ministry. And one of them is a designer. When you recognize a flow from a higher source, similar ones will begin to enter into your life. Men who carry impartation don't struggle. You have been battling with the yoke of delay. There is someone around you that is excelling in things you are failing at. When you recognize the grace at work in that person, you begin to see similar things working in you. Riyad Bonke came to Nigeria to minister some years ago. I was sharing the story tonight. It was Dr. Paul Eneche that requested, please permit me. Can you just give me a permission? All I want to do is to be the one that will wash this man's toilet. Thank God for the hotel service. We bless God for them. But let me just be the man. I went to minister in Benin, and one of the ladies that worked in the hotel, when I was leaving, the moment I was leaving the door, she knelt down at the door. She must have perceived this as a pastor. And she knelt down and said, Pastor, I know if you speak one word, my life will change. And the word was spoken. It is so, I knew it. Nothing can stop it. Now, she could go on and despise. People who say, I can talk to anybody anyhow, they live life in struggle. I don't care. I don't recognize any pastor. Nobody can talk to me. All those pastors, they think, you know, I have said this over and over again. By nature, I am a very sympathetic person. But experience in ministry has taught me not to be too sympathetic. When a man is going through misfortune, first sit down and watch. Has there ever been a point in his life that he has disregarded grace? You get what I'm saying now? You go on social media, you see people who insult pastors and yeah, hold on a minute. You don't owe them the duty of trying to talk to them there. And then you watch their lives. You see that they are also crying secretly. Things are not working. But somehow the devil will not let them progress. He has put a word in their mouth and a thought pattern in their heart. A mountain of strongholds that will bring down their life. That don't regard anybody carrying something you need. And they talk down ministers of God and their life keep crashing. Impartation doesn't flow towards dishonor. There are things you need. Recognize it. It takes humility to recognize your own need. You get what I'm saying now? And your eyes of understanding have to be enlightened to see men who carries the possibility. Now, there are men who have what you don't have, but they don't have the possibility to give it to you. But there are men that carries the possibility to impart it to you. Isaac never prayed for Jacob twice. When he said it once, it was settled. The moment Esau entered, he said, I have blessed your brother. It cannot be reversed. I have made him a ruler over you. It means what I'm saying, what I said was fixed. They were men who understood that there were angels around taking account. Say it, stamp it forever. And Esau said, my prayer for you is that you will not be like Esau. We are warned that do not be like Esau, the profane, who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright. And afterward, he sought for it with tears. Don't let people carry what you need pass on before you discover that they actually had it. And sometimes one of the things that can kill people is familiarity when you have them around you. Are you getting what we are saying here? Impartation. It is the system of God to make sure that the river keeps flowing across generations. Impartation is God's arrangement to make sure that the river will not stop flowing across what? Generation. You know, we were talking about the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah did not ask all the sons of the prophet, what shall I do unto you? When it got to a point that the going got tough and only one man kept following, he looked at that man on the account of the degree to which he has followed. Now hold on. This attitude of seeing great men and all of a sudden wanting to carry what they carry is wrong. Sometimes it is greed. Have you followed to a point? Listen, even if not the man, sometimes you cannot follow the man because you don't have access to him. But those you have access to, have you followed to a point that they ask you, what do you want? Do you get what I'm saying here? Somebody says that, I love pastor here, they will bless God. The ones you have around you that are not him, have you followed to a point that they can look at you and say, what do you want? We cannot just come and bump into men and say we want to carry what they carry. No, sir. And this attitude has made it so that we have so many bossy guys, young but full of themselves, who go about the place and just brag about. And then they are waiting for a time that, in quote, higher grace will come to the land and they will go beggarly to receive. God knows their hearts. He makes sure nothing flows there. These are not the kind of men that will lead the generation. Men that will lead every generation are humble men who recognizes the flow from where they are first. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Elisha followed to a point that Elijah had to ask him, tell me, before I am taken from you. Elijah acknowledged the fact that now, if I'm taken, I'm not taken from the rest. I am taken from you. You are the one that value what I carry over the rest. Before I am taken from you, tell me, what can I do to you? Elisha did not say, give me 7 days to go and pray. There was a desire he had that compelled the followership. When the question came, he quickly said it without thinking twice. Give me, I pray thee, double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, you are asking for a hard thing. Now, these are codes of men who understand the ways of God. He didn't say, okay, is that what you are asking for? All right, wherever you are, just kneel down. No. It's a hard thing. What God has done to my... Now, listen. Look up. Let me give you the interpretation of this scripture. Samson was a man who walked in great dimension of anointing, but with very weak spirit. Daniel, You know what I'm saying? A very strong spirit. On the account of them availing their spirit man to God, something had been done to them that has made the spirit man strong. Do you get what I'm saying now? So strong. So he said, I want double. See, I have watched you, sir. There is a heart with which you do things. There is something you have people don't understand. This is not just about what you carry. It is about the spirit in you. I want that spirit. So Elijah said to him, you have asked for a very hard thing. Nevertheless, if you will see me when I'm being taken from you, you will have it. Now, you don't want to hear that word from anybody. Huh? If you will what? See me. How many days will it take you to see me? He didn't tell him. Huh? Keep following. Now, you may know that I'm about to be taken from you, but you won't know the time or the season. You get what I'm saying? If you see me, when I'm sleeping, you can't sleep. You have to stay awake. I can be snatched up from you in the middle of the night. You can't get these things by playing. I have labored in times past. I'm about leaving. You need to labor too. These few days of us journeying together, that's the language of Elijah to Elisha. You will have to labor. Then you have been following to some degree before. You were following and you were still seeing other people. Now it is me. Let your focus be narrowed down. If you will see me, not if you will see all the pastors. If you are high, be single. Your entire body will be full of what? Light. And then they kept on journeying together. And the man Elisha followed not on the account of stubbornness, but on the account of desire. There is something this man has. I want it. Check the body of Christ. Benny Hinn will talk about the move of God in his life and make reference to Catherine Kuhlman. You get what I'm saying? There is no tree that stands tall that is not standing on the seed that someone sown before. You get what I'm saying here? Every man that is genuinely doing this thing called ministry in a way that God wants it, their life as a reference. You can look at them and trace where this river is flowing from. Where is your own river flowing from? Who have you recognized? There is no doctrine. You see, there are some very evil doctrine that people are digging up in this generation. And one of such doctrine is that when people begin to come up and say the world is taking over, let's forget about anything the fathers claim to have done. It's trouble. Any generation that caught children from fathers wants to make sure that the children are stranded. And sometimes people are bringing doctrine that is fighting the core pillars of the kingdom. And one of the prayers you must pray in your heart is that I will not be too arrogant. Pray it for yourself. There is a river flowing. May I partake of it. May I drink from that river. May I not be arrogant. May I not be full of myself. May I recognize that there is a work the fathers have done. May I crave for the God who met them. May God find me worthy as a man that can continue in the footsteps of the apostles and prophets. Cantabalate krekemati. Lugetele kombra kafeti krotishta plati. Zumbeke telebroku fatili bashate. Lengeton braka paladish te credebusha. Lenemon zikrana matikishti. Lekete broku frede beladishta. Ayanamans te credemetista. Ah. Lord, we trace the water the fathers drank. We are forgetting not the ancient landmarks. We trace the path that these men had walked with you. Every man representing a communication of yours in my generation. May I not live a stranded life around them. May I carry what I need to carry so I can be a blessing indeed. May I not be full of myself, sitting and thinking everything will fall to my laps in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we trace the altars that men who had walked with you had built. We ask for continuity. Continuity. Amen. Now look up. God is a God of continuity. He doesn't invest anywhere in dream. If somebody gets what I'm saying here, if there's anything you have looked and celebrated, wished for in your heart, understand that much more than what you have seen, God wants to give to you. He's a God of continuity. Where he stopped with Abraham, he continued with Isaac and then to Jacob. He wants to flow. He wants to move upon your life. He wants to continue. You go back and read the stories of men that brought the faith, made it available in the city that you are. What did they do to make this dimension available? There's something, there's a concrete work that's been done here. And you get what I'm saying here? And you are seeking for same grace, same flow. A man can lay hands on your head, sir, and your life never remains the same. And I tell you over and over, not all hands are empty. Not all hands are dry. There are men that on the account of this thing with God, they are robust, weighty. When there is impartation, men who receive experience ease. You hear what I'm saying? When the river flows in your direction and you drink from it, life becomes easy. Because you have chosen the path of inheritance. God intends that we all will carry something. What do you want? I was seated in Sports Complex. Year 2010, when Pastor here at Debo came to minister on campus. And the Lord said to me when he was done ministering, said, when my friend Adeboye has come home to be with me, will I still have a friend like him amongst you? And that question broke me. It is one thing for a man to claim that he's a friend of God. It is another thing for God to boast of a man that he's my friend. And this was God speaking to me, not the man himself. And God saying to me in the midst of the crowd in that place, we all are seated, but under different kinds of heaven. For some it is open, for some it is partially open, and for some it is closed because of the hardness of their heart. And some goes to meeting just to hear what the pastor say. Ezekiel 33 verse 31 says that they come before you and sit before you as one who has but a sweet sound. And say, let us go to the house of the Lord and hear what the preacher will say. They sit before you as my people seated, but with their heart, their mouth they show much love, but their heart is far from me. And God discerns the heart of people. But in the midst of those people, God seeks for common men that they can visit with a word in parable, in a word of invitation. When God asks you about the Father, he's calling you closer to partake of what they drank. When God says that, will I have a friend like him amongst you? God is saying, why not you come up higher and be my friend? It's an extension of invitation. God is extending some, it's an invite. And when you see that as a question, you die there. But you must discern it, see it as what it is. And when God is saying, will I still have a friend amongst you? And it's like my servant Adeboye. What is God saying? Son, like I met David early, can you please make your hands available? I want to extend a hand to you. This is an invite I'm giving to you. Can you be my friend? You know, you can sit intently under a sermon and look at what God has done with a life and crave for the same thing and decide to walk in one level of honor according to the move of the Spirit in your life, a degree of sacrifice, a degree of service, one thing that the Holy Ghost will ask you to do. And then God gives you a word. What you have seen here, in multiple fold will I do in your life and in your ministry. But when some hear the word, they don't value it. A man who don't value the word of God cannot value impartation. The word is the raw material that forms everything we see in experiences in life. If God will do anything in your life, he motions them with the word. True or not true? Yes. God is not mute. Even when a grace is flowing in your life, let me say this to you, your life is not as successful as the grace you carry. It is as successful as the knowledge, your knowledge of the grace. If you have it but don't know it, you will still fail. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If you have it but don't know it, you still what? Fail. But a man can know when something entered his life. I knew the meeting I was seated when God said to me, your generation will look up to you for wisdom. I knew that point. I knew when God said, I placed my hands upon your hands. When you write, it will flow to the nations of the earth. I knew that point. Do you get what I'm saying now? When it comes, you will know. But there must be a system of hunger and a pattern of honor. And that combining the both is wisdom. There is an adage in Yoruba land. That is, the children that knows how to wash well their hands that eat with the fathers. They carry something. But until you can bow to the degree of honor that is really communicable, you cannot partake of it. How can you mock at a thing and want it to nourish you? Impartation is real. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Impartation is what? It's real. Don't seek for a Christian walk that wants to lack commitment. Don't seek for the path of thieves. They just want to take without being committed anywhere. In the place of commitment, in the place of service, something can come upon you without anybody coming physically to lay hands on you. And while you are serving, God looks at you as a just and faithful servant and motion his words towards you and tell you, on the account of your consistency with what you have been doing in this vineyard, I am making a covenant with you that you will not lack, because I know when I bless you, I bless nations in you. You know, you can go to a place and just do something simply, and God just motioned his word to you. On the account of what you are doing, I know when I do these things to you, son, this is what you will do. Having trusted your heart, guaranteed that you are a man of integrity, upright in heart, I am giving you my commitment. In blessing will I bless you. And that's something. And when you carry it, when men come to your life, recognize that place where God met you, it is communicable. Understand this. The value for the things that cannot be seen, the eternal word, spiritual resources, possibilities, anointings, dimensions men represent. When there are people who are truly hungry, God guides, supervises jealously the release of this grace upon that generation. Now, one of the prayers I pray for this generation is that we will not be stranded. May God raise men like Joshua that will bridge gap between the fathers and the upcoming generation, lest the earth look like a cursed ground. Now, listen to this prophetically. There are generation bridgers. There are men who are bridged between the old and the new. You need to pass on that bridge so you don't drown. Do you get what I'm saying? Recognize the bridge in your generation. There are men. They are new, but they connect to the fathers, carrying things flowing to you. They have knowledge of what God has done through the fathers. When you see a man that his life is a combination of graces, you will know. It reflects. You get what I'm saying? It tells. All God wants to do with you is beyond you. But you must cooperate with him. Understand the importance of that ministry, that agency called man. that what God wants to give you will not come down from heaven to release it. There is a man carrying it. Your ability to recognize it and receive it is what makes you wise. Are you getting what we are saying? Is it very clear to you? Are you understanding it? That effort, unnecessary delay can be taken away from your life on the account of recognition. On that account. And sometimes people who carry what can change your life don't look like it. Huh? They don't what? They don't look like it. But they carry something. It is called authority. And that's why it is important you honor your parents. You may hate the level that they have, but they carry the blessing that can shift you forward. On the account of your own honor, they can call you one day and change the course of your life with a pronouncement. And you get what we are saying here. You will tell the Lord, I value impartation. I value that which flows from you. I refuse to be arrogant and full of myself. I value it. I recognize. I value it, Lord, genuinely, with the whole of my heart. I long for it more and more. Everywhere I see grace, may I partake. May I always know what to do in the name of Jesus. Kalanama sumbreke fretike libasha. Zinkreki namante stokleke broku fretike namusha. Yanamante kreni musha. I value these things. There is something I need. I don't have it yet. Give me the discretion, the ability to recognize men carrying it. And may I walk in greater flow. In the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help my sight to see correctly.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.